So Mark chapter 4, beginning at verse 26. He also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts a sickle to it, because the harvest has come." Again, he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground. Yet, when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds of the air can perch in its shade." With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable, but when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. So we come in this parable session to what I like. I found great hope and joy today in what we just read. All right? And I hope you will too by the end of our little time here. All right? We've gone through these parables, and some of it's been concerning. We've seen Jesus in some ways draw some lines. We've seen Jesus kind of show that there are some who are outside and some who are inside. And those who are inside, they get all kinds of great benefits and understanding. And those outside, well, not only are they on the outside, but even but. What understanding they might have is sometimes taken away from them. It's kind of frustrating in some ways. And yet we've seen all along that Jesus is showing us God's kingdom. And he's showing us how his things work. And in jarring, startling ways, he's showing that our expectations are not really what the reality of God's kingdom is often. Those that we think are clearly insiders are shown to be outsiders. And those who are clearly on the outside are shown over and over again to be, to have more understanding, and in fact are probably more on the inside. That's God's kingdom. That's God's kingdom. And today we see two things in these two parables. One, we see the mysterious growth of the kingdom of God. And then we see the what's the word I used here? The unexpected proliferation of God's kingdom. Okay, so the mysterious growth and the unexpected growth of the kingdom, or proliferation of that kingdom. Okay, so the first part of the parable, we see he uses an agrarian example again. What is the kingdom like? It's like scattering seed. Now, before we saw seeds going on various soils, so the focus is kind of the soil, all right? And we spoke a little bit to, you know, kind of how's our heart in receiving God's word, and even the possibility maybe we can, you know, we can kind of work on the soil a little bit sometimes, right? But here the focus is not there, okay? The farmer sows the seed. The NIV, I think, rightly says a man scattered the seed on the ground. Okay, so there's even less intent purpose. He just kind of throws it out there. All right? And then two, the seed grows. Farmer has no idea. Doesn't know how it works. Doesn't care. It just does what it's supposed to do. And then it grows. It ripens. And you have a harvest. It's all very mysterious. Now, in our modern world, we can get, oh, well, we know how it works. You know, there's cells and blah, 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 blah. I love biology. It's awesome. But it doesn't take away from just the mystery of it, the awesomeness of it. Even you, the science, if you understand how it works, that is still amazing, right? Still, life is amazing things. You know, to think that little bits of matter somehow combine, and then somehow in that combination, then somehow life is out of that, and then life goes on, and it blows your mind. I do not understand atheism in that respect. All due respect to those who struggle, and I know it can be a struggle. But I just look at just the simplest little thing and think, that's amazing. Now, we understand. I mean, as I look across this place right now, many of us have an understanding of what goes into growing a garden or growing crops, right? It's not just that simple, right? I mean, if you grow a garden, you know, there's the tilling of the soil, there's fertilizing, there's the planting that and the work that goes into that, make sure everything's in proper places, and we want to do well. We pull weeds, we work on diseases, and we try to keep the bugs away and try to keep the animals away from it. Okay, so there's work that goes on in planting a garden. We understand that here, but Jesus' focus here, remember, in a parable, we're looking for that one thing. Right? We don't have to go on rabbit trails here, right? What's Jesus talking about here? This parable focuses on the growth of the kingdom by God's power. It's Him. And it's that mysterious way that it just happens because of Him. We can cultivate soils, fertilize, etc., but the process of a seed sprouting and growing into a rich and productive plant is something we have no control of. It's beyond our control. And that, I think, is the point that Jesus is trying to make here. As human beings, we like control. Right? We want to control things. And in some ways, we work hard at doing it. I mean, look at our modern, just keeping agrarian here, all right? And our modern sorts of farming things we do. I mean, just the amount of crops we're able to put out, the work we've done in genetics and breedings and all these things. We do things. And all that is to control, to make sure that we aren't lacking, to make sure that we can feed people and make more money and whatever, right? Usually when we have control, it gives us the illusion that we have we can protect ourselves. It gives the illusion of safety. I call it an illusion because in reality, no matter how much control we try to put upon our environment and the things in our lives, at the end of the day, you know, something can happen that we have no control of, and we realize how little control we do have. We can control, a person can be as healthy as they want, can exercise every day, have a perfect diet, and perfect sleep, and they can go to a doctor and discover a cancerous tumor in their brain. No control. We don't have it. You know, I grew up in an era, as we think about what this means, and in the 80s, going to the 90s, into the early 2000s, and that's my growth years, right, in Christendom. And all the talk was of church growth. What can we... I say it now, and I'm just shocked at my own self sometimes. What can we do to grow the church? Now, okay. Don't get me wrong here. We want to be concerned and we do things, right? But, you know, just all the emphasis is, and when I was growing up and then in the seminary, college and seminary, in the church ministry was the models of the mega church, the Bill Hybels and all these big, you know, growth things. I go to seminars. They bring in, when I was in seminary, they bring in these big mega church staffs who would try to show us how they achieved 5,000 people in their church, right? And I look back now, I'm going, you know, most of these guys here got pastor churches like 100. And it's not going to work. But I think as I look back on it now, of all these things, the mega church models, the corporate sort of model of trying to put upon things, the seeker sensitive ideas, the programs, the coffee shops in your church, making sure you manage your parking lot correctly, the homogenous unit principle, which is, you know, a guy named Gavin put forth this idea that if you really want to grow a church, what you want to do is, you know, make sure that the people are kind of the same, all right? Because when you have people that are different, associated economically, ethnically, you know, racially, you're not going to have as much growth, you know. So if you want to really grow a church, you know, go like into a white place and then just do things for white people and you're going to grow more. You know, and then God will be glorified by that. And, you know, really, I mean, yeah, you can have some colored people there, but really, if you want that to grow, go and then have more colored people and have them, you know, and then they're going to be more comfortable and then they'll grow. And it's true, okay? It's true. We are more comfortable with those that we are similar to. I don't see that in Jesus speaking of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not growth at all costs. The kingdom of God is, and this parable shows us that. The farmer's not worried about how it works. It just does. We have to beware of focus on human strategies, of seeking strategies of power or of influence to promote God's kingdom when God's kingdom is the opposite of those things. Now, what this parable can tell us, so it gives us great confidence. Don't get me wrong here. Alright? This is really good news for the kingdom of God and for us as his people. It really is. This parable gives us great confidence in our church growth and ministry ideas. It really does. And it tells us things like, okay, sowing seeds. Just do it. Alright? Just sow them. Throw it out there. Something's going to grow. I don't have control of it. Now, that can be, you know, I mean, be it. Now, here, we're getting an area here, and I understand. And I, you know, growing up, I had great fear of sharing my faith. I mean, terrifying, paralyzing fear. Also great guilt. Huge guilt. So I'd feel terrible about my fear. I'd pray desperately to God, you're my fear, and that it didn't go away. It was awful, all right? But this says, hey, don't worry about it. Scatter seed, be it a gospel outline or a gospel track or, you know, force, whatever, that's fine. But don't limit to that. We've already spoken much in this Gospel of Mark about what the gospel is and how you share what the gospel message is. And it certainly is the idea of you know, we're sinful and we're apart from God, and Jesus came and bridged the gap and died for our sins, and you believe in him and you're saved. Yes! Oh, the old story, it's wonderful. But what did Jesus do? The kingdom of God is here. That was the gospel. It's here. He hadn't died yet. All that stuff hadn't happened yet. But how did he show it? He did the healings, the deliverances, the feedings. So don't downplay the seed of good works in your life. Don't downplay the growth potential of a kind word, of just a simple hug to someone in need, just a simple listening, not saying anything. Small seeds, right? Small seeds. What does God say about that too, right? Because that comes in the second parable. We have great confidence then, not only in the mystery of the growth, okay? God's kingdom is going to grow. All right? And in fact, we know so much so, in this next parable also, he gives an example of mustard seed. Now, I don't have a mustard seed. They're little, I know. They're tiny. Most seeds are, but, you know, see some small seeds. Okay, little, right? I'm always amazed too. I mean, okay, I haven't gotten to my garden yet. I'm still working on it. But I'm always amazed at something like a squash plant. Okay? One silly little squash plant. I get it. It's like this big. It's like this. I put it in my hay bale. I leave it alone. I give it some water. And that darn thing will cover half my lawn if I'm not careful. That thing will just goes crazy. And I go, what? From that little thing? And then it gives these big old squash on it, and more than I can even think. I fill my basement up to the top with squash if I'm not careful. It's amazing, and that's the principle here that God gives in his kingdom. What does it mean? What does it do? And he's saying that there is an extravagant growth in God's kingdom. Right? That we may look at things and say, oh, it's just a little thing. Oh, you know, we're just a tiny little church. I mean, look at us. Little. Hardly anybody in here. Okay. Are you kidding? God, people. It's little things. We have to be patient. A farmer's patient. You put it there, you know, I put that squash in. Okay, I wonder. It's going to grow, you know? It's amazing. Or you know, I was at Oakwood Park. You know, and you go to that back corner, around back corner of Oakwood Park, and there's a big old gnarly oak trees in there. They're huge. That's amazing. I think that thing started out as a little acorn. It just grew out all over the place. Or I was thinking the other day, I didn't go there, but I was in northern Minnesota camping the other day, and there's pine trees up there. And I remember there's a little spot in northern Minnesota, way up there. So way back in the day, everything just got logged off. They had these big pine trees, you know, just straight as an arrow, great lumber. And they just took them all down, right? But because of a little mistake in orienting and the maps and things, there's this little patch, like a 40-acre patch, of this virgin pine trees that didn't get cut down. And they're incredible. They're amazing. You go in there, and there's these huge pine trees. And they're like this big. You know, you look at them, you know. And then I think about, you know, go to Northern California. And if you ever have, and see a redwood tree, it takes your breath away. You know, people, when I was there, some people, and it's kind of like the Grand Canyon in some ways. You go over there, and these trees, and it's hard to even picture just how big they are, how tall they are. And people are, when they go to see them, like at the Grand Canyon, they go there, they often whisper. They're walking around talking, and they're just like, oh, this is amazing. Do you see that? Look how big that is. There's just a certain sense of awe that comes from this. It's incredible. And have you seen a redwood seed? It's tiny. It's little. That is the principle of God's kingdom. All right? It's about Jesus. It's about Him, and He's controlling the growth. It's astounding rate of growth in the kingdom of God. But the confidence we have is in His sovereignty, in His generosity, in His promoting growth in things. We can have confidence in that. The kingdom of God, often we see it's like maybe initial insignificance, will grow completely out of proportion with the eventual size it's going to be. Now, I think in some ways, when Jesus speaks of this kind of things, we're talking end. Okay, there's a certain aspect of that. Because the day is going to come, folks, when God's kingdom is everything. Literally, all right? When God will rule and there's peace and harmony and as things should be over all nations, all people, all planets, whatever. Whatever else is out there, I don't know, but it's all. And all that, guess, is coming from what? These few little people that we're talking about right now. From that, the entire universe or the multiverse, whatever's out there, I have no idea. It's all going to be kingdom of God under Him. That's incredible. That's amazing. And so the little seeds that you have are part of that. When you are at school, kids, and you sit down and have lunch next to that person that maybe no one else wants to sit with, that is a seed that will grow. All right? When you help a neighbor who's completely annoying, but you watch their kids anyway because they had something wrong, their car broke down, whatever. That's a seed that's going to grow. And not just grow, it's going to flourish, okay? That's what seeds do. That's what seeds do. What you see as insignificant is actually incredibly and astoundingly significant. All right? Like I said, kind word, good deed. When I was in college, and I was involved with Campus Crusade of Christ for a while, and I went with one of our staff people to share the gospel with somebody at the appointment. And he said, oh, you want to try? Now, in my head, there's a voice screaming, no! No, you do not want to try. Don't do this, Steve. You hate this. But I said, oh, sure. Because that's what I'm supposed to say, right? So I get the little track, I sit down this guy, okay, he didn't want us to be there. I think he signed up and signed his name to something and he got a free brownie or something, and next thing you know, this guy's knocking on his door, right? And I went through it, and it was the worst gospel presentation ever, I think, probably. All right, it was awful. I stumbled, I fumbled, I didn't know what I was doing. I turned pages. He's looking at me. I'm looking at him. I just kind of got done. And went, okay, you want to accept Jesus? Oh my goodness! All right, even that.
Okay,
even that. Can be a seed. All right, it's a seed. It's small. It's tiny. Insignificant. There are seeds that will grow into a great harvest. All these things will. And if we think about it in this way, if we're doing all things, well, Paul talks about doing everything in the name of Jesus Christ. So whatever we're doing, having dinner with our family, you could be scattering seeds there, right? When you are going to the store to buy some groceries, stopping at Quick Trip to get gas and some donuts, they go together. You can be spreading seeds, right? I mean, all those things. You may think it's insignificant. You may not think it's a big deal. Stopping and yielding to someone at an intersection and just being gentle, say, you can go. It could be a seed, right? Our world needs those little things. But those little things are things that can grow to an enormous proportion that we don't have control of. The kingdom of God is growing here in Fenimore. Alright? The kingdom of God is growing here at Trinity Evangelical Free Church. Now maybe we don't see it. Alright? Maybe we're frustrated. Love to see some more folks in these gaps in the pews here. How wonderful would it be to have a couple more families in here, children running around and stuff, right? We dream for these things. We long for these things. We don't see it. But it is growing. And I say that with the same confidence that if I plant seeds in the ground and they're under the dirt and I don't see anything, and I can tell you, they're growing. It's growing. How do you know? Because that's what they do. I have no control over it. It just happens. In a few weeks, you're going to see it. But don't get frustrated now. Don't get frustrated now because the growth is happening. In Fenimore, in Grant County, in Wisconsin, in the United States. Yeah, do you get frustrated with the news? Guess what? God's kingdom is growing. Are you sick and tired of wars in Ukraine or things that are happening in Ethiopia and Sudan or wherever it is? Are you saddened by people being killed? Are you grieved when you hear up in, what was it, by Reedsburg, and that kid gets killed because the guy went around a school bus this week? Do you cry? God's kingdom is still growing, people. It is. We don't see it, but it is. Because that's what God tells us it is. It is faith. Hebrews 11:1. Faith is confidence and hope in things we don't see. And so we have faith. We have faith. And so together, as we seek God's kingdom, as we're praying that prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done, you are saying, I am confident that the seeds are growing and will grow. And time of his choosing, in the way of his plan, harvest will be done. And we just need to make sure we are ready to go when that time comes. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that in our weakness, in our frustration, in our fear, that your kingdom grows. Not by my work or anything I do, but as a seed sprouts and grows and flowers and matures, your kingdom is working. And we all know that at the end, it will be a great, great harvest. Help us, Lord, to be confident in that. Help us, Lord, not to be afraid to scatter some seed. And if you call us, you give us the opportunity to specifically say words to people of hope and following Jesus, or if it's simply the opportunity to not snap in anger at someone who's bothersome to us, whatever it may be, Lord, may we consider it seed for your glory in all these things. And so we are confidently pray in Jesus' name and look forward to seeing growth as you will it. Amen. Amen. Again, happy Mother's Day, everyone. Thanks for being here today. Thank you all you who helped out with food today. And yeah, have a good week. Thank you.